Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, August 19th, 2021. I'm continuing my very important, informative series on the Ten Commandments. We're doing a detailed look on how God's holy law can revolutionize our culture, our behavior. In a culture that's filled with lawlessness and chaos, we need a standard. We need a foundation. And you will find that here in the Ten Commandments. This is the third in a 10 or 13 part series. Last week, we took a very in-depth look at the first commandment, which says, "You shall have no other gods before me." We took a look at the problem of idolatry. We looked at the fact that there is only one true and living Almighty God, and he shares his glory with no one else. So we looked at the first commandment last week. Today, we're going to look carefully at the second commandment, which is very similar to the first. It deals with the subject of idolatry, but more specifically, it talks about worship. And the problem we're going to deal with is worshiping the right God the wrong way. What does that mean? And how can we as Christians understand how the commandment of worship today, that you shall have no other gods before me and no graven images, how that applies to our life and how we can use God's holy law to bring balance and freedom into our lives. I want us to look carefully at Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. This is about the second commandment. Commandment number 2, you shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, the King James Version of the Bible says, you shall not make a graven image. We're going to talk at length about that in a couple of minutes. But as I mentioned, this commandment, again, it's a prohibition against idolatry, but specifically in the area of worship. And we need to look at God's commandments as a law of perfect freedom. It's a prohibition against what is wrong that will lead us into folly and error. So God wants us to come to him and to recognize and worship him in a way that is honoring to him. Remember what Jesus said to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this has everything to do with right worship. Again, it's talking about idols, but I want us to understand something about this commandment. This commandment I just read to you addresses the mode of worship, not so much the object. Note that this command does not just say kneel or pray to, but actually make such things. So an idol is a man-made object that represents what man thinks or imagines what God is like. A likeness is an object in nature which represents God. Now, you hear this, well, you know, I think God is like, or the man upstairs. You cannot, according to this commandment, corrupt your thinking in coming to God and saying, well, I believe God is like this. God has revealed himself as to who he is very clearly in Scripture. And when it comes to worship, which is what this commandment is dealing with, we need to be careful that we don't represent God in worship by looking at a candle, meditating, visualizing, or bringing anything into worship that we think God is like. Let me try to help you with that. This is the problem of the idols of the mind. So God is saying here in this commandment, you shall not create or make these things for the following purposes. To worship, you're not to offer devotion, prayer, trust, or love to these objects, man-made objects, or what you think they represent. You notice in our culture you have statues of Buddha. You have all kinds of icons in Catholicism, statues of Mary, relics, and things like that. Well, again, the problem is we are not to depict God in those ways. We are not to bow down or to visualize God in those ways in worship. The worship or reverence, for instance, of Mary or the saints as represented by pictures or statues, what that amounts to is idolatry. You shall not create or make these things, God is saying. A lot of people say they don't worship a statue. They worship what the statue represents. You hear that. You even have Christians with crucifixes. Now, we'll get into that later. But here's what the second commandment is forbidding us to do. To not use a representation or a statue or an image in worshiping him. And as you read on in this commandment, there are serious consequences for those that do that. If you teach your children these things, they will be punished, and the punishment will occur in every generation that this sin is practiced without exception. Those, however, who take seriously the second commandment and obey it will set into motion a faith that can be blessed and multiplied. The idea here in the second commandment is that the effects of disobedience last only a few generations until these people are cut off altogether. But obedience guarantees people for a life, even to 1,000 generations. So let's look specifically, as we're talking about this second commandment, which is about graven images or carved idols, how do people break this commandment? Well, in the Old Testament, you had the examples of the pagan in Baal worship, as well as the Jews. Remember when Moses was up speaking face-to-face with God, and they got anxious below? Aaron led everyone into a ritual. They erected a golden calf, and they said, this is our true God. They imitated him. They thought that's what he was like, and they began to worship him. And that was breaking the second commandment, creating objects to worship or offering worship to nature. That's what the Egyptians did with the sun god. So as we look carefully at this commandment, the same type of Old Testament idolatry exists today in many Eastern religions. Hindus burn fire before their statues. Muslims touch a sacred stone at Mecca. The statue of Buddha is revered. And even Roman Catholics, they still use imagery and worship and devotion. Some environmentalists consider the earth sacred and serve it as one serves God. And the practice of occultism, witchcraft, sorcery, divination are all forms of idolatry because they seek and serve a spiritual power that clearly is not from God. Now, we want to look not just at the obvious here, which is worshiping the right God the wrong way, which Christians can do, are through occult visualizations, which creates idols of the mind. What is another way that we as Christians can break this second commandment? Let's look deeper at it. Well, resistance to God's will. Think of the example of Saul. Saul disobeyed Samuel's instructions regarding the destruction of Amalekites, and he was corrected by Samuel, continued to justify his behavior. Resisting the spirit or the direct word of God is a form of idolatry because it establishes our will, our thoughts, our image of self as supreme over us. We end up serving our own will over God's will. So this is another way we break the second commandment. Another way is greed. The Bible says, therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. And Paul is warning that greed is a form of idolatry. Greed moves us to set up the satisfaction of our desire as our God. We focus our energy and love on people, things, possessions that we desire. We lavish our love and attention on them when we get them. Greed is like a never-ending cycle of yearning, earning, and yearning again. So for Christians, the world is full of temptations to idolatry because it offers many alternatives to God's word as the basis for living, and we are constantly stimulated to be dissatisfied with what we have, we're not content, and yearn for more of newer things. We are always encouraged to desire more or different than what we already have. And so greed sets up another problem in that we disobey this second commandment. So how, as we as Christians, as we look carefully at this second commandment, how do we better obey this commandment? Well, prayer, worship, study, serving Christ, walking in his ways. The more we know and see Christ, the more we will be less likely to fall into idolatry and worship another, including sinful self. That's one way to deal with obeying this second commandment. Another way is being content with what we have. Make sure that our character is free from the love of money. Be content, Christians. This is so easy to fall into this. And this is one of the ways we can look at this commandment and say, I don't want to fall into these idols, and I don't want to fall into the trap of worshiping God in a way that is not honoring to him. Now, the King James Bible in Exodus chapter 20 says, you shall not make for yourself a graven image. Here in the ESV, it says a carved image. What is this graven image? Let's look a little bit more closer at that. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. What is the graven image? And is this something we need to be wary of? Well, graven images, it's an idol. We've been looking at idols. A graven image was something carved out of stone and wood or metal. It was either a statue or a relief carving on a wall or a pole. And when we look in the context, idols were common in the world around Israelites. And remember the context here. When God gave the Ten Commandments, the Israelites had just left Egypt, where the Egyptians worshiped dozens, even hundreds of gods represented by idols. And these idols were believed to hold the power of the gods. Gods in the ancient Near East could be very bloodthirsty. Canaanites were known to sacrifice children to Moloch before a statue. Prophets of Baal slashed themselves to invoke the attention of their god. Idols were fashioned as humanoid figures. They were animals and humans, sometimes mixed together. And though it's acknowledged that these idols were made by human hands, the gods, or at least the portions of their power, were still believed to indwell these statues, if you will. So it is notable that when the Bible refers to these graven images now, which is usually translated as idols, it is specifically referring to objects of worship. And you know, it's, to us, you know, bowing down to a statue or a stone may sound silly, but that was a major problem for the Israelites. That's why graven image is mentioned in this commandment. It ended up being idolatry. And people gave their lives to these objects of worship. It was the prevailing religion of the day. And that's why we see here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and strength." That would take you out of the realm of idolatry, because idolatry ended up stealing the glory and honor that solely belonged to God. And so that's why God says, love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we have this problem yet today. You know, the command against graven images, idols, still holds true, though it may be applicable, a little differently today. It's talking about idols. But in anything we put before God as more important, and we esteem more important than God, is an idol. An idol is anything we put our trust in that is not God. It can be our life possessions. It can be our job. It can be anything, as I've said again and again and again to us. So what are some modern-day examples of graven images? You know, people trust in talismans or charms. That's easy to recognize. But what about us as Christians? What do I depend on for my safety and security? Is it money? Is it jobs? Is it my physical health? All of these things can fail. Now, there's really nothing wrong, again, with money and jobs and health. They're good things, but they can become problematic when we depend more on them than on God. And right now in this pandemic, our focus is on our health, and rightly so. There's nothing wrong with that. But now our lives are obsessed with our health, and slowly that can become an object of worship, our bodies. We can also ask ourselves, what is most important to me? Is it fame, hobby, career, money, power, food, relationships? Would we be willing to give those up if the Lord asked? So idols today are just as tempting as they were to the ancient Israelites. When we read about idols and graven image, let us remind us to place God above all else in our lives and worship him alone. He is worthy of our worship. He is our God, our Savior, our King. And he wants our lives to be pure. He wants our lives to be filled with vitality. And when he says, don't put graven images before me, God is doing that to help us so that we focus on him in all of his glory. And for us to try to imagine who God is another violation, because God is spirit. He doesn't have a physical body. This is a protection. The second commandment gets us in the right perspective on how we approach and we worship the right God in the right way, instead of filling our mind and our lives with things that pull us away from the one and true living God. It was during the time of the Babylonian captivity that the Hebrew children were told by Nebuchadnezzar you need to bow down at the sound of this music and worship this statue, which was basically a personification of him. And the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow down to his idols. As we look carefully at the second commandment today, as we listen to this song by Russ Taff, let us remember to flee from idolatry and to be like the Hebrew children who were willing to die in the fire rather than to break this command and worship a false god. Let's listen to Not Gonna Bow. Very thought-provoking song for our study this morning by Russ Taff, Not Gonna Bow. It's all about idolatry of the mind, and the second commandment is putting that all in perspective today. Again, the reason for this study is that we need to have a standard that says this is the way we ought to live. And for Christians who are filled with God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit enables us commands not as law, not as a burden, but rather as the law of perfect freedom. it structures our Christian life in such a way is that we take inventory on the way we live. And in essence, these Ten Commandments teach us to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, if you look throughout the New Testament, the fulfillment of the law is loving God and your neighbor as yourself. And so the Ten Commandments are a fruitful study for us. It is God's holy law for society and for the individual Christian. How I wish that our society would look to these commands. They would enrich their lives, that set them free from the bondage of sin. But again, the law, again, is not designed to save, but to point us in our need for a Savior. The law is fulfilled when we come to Christ. But when we are Christians, we can look at this holy command about idolatry today, and it can help us in our life to look at things objectively and say, Lord, this is not right. I need to get rid of this. And this is a way that we please God, is to take inventory of our life. What are the gods in my life, Lord, that are controlling my thinking, my time? Is it my cell phone? Is it social media? What in my life that has become the idol? And so the commands are a way to purify us, if you will, to show us what God says and how we can order and structure our life in such a way that we say no more of this idolatry, no more of this way of worship where I've come to God and I've approached him in a way that dishonors him. What are the graven images in your life? What are those things that control you? What are those things that consume your time more than the living God? When we come to the living God and give him our time and our obedience and our worship and structure our life around that, we find a freedom, a joy, a holiness that enriches our life. So again, I say this many times to any Christians that are listening. This is not a way of legalism. These commands empower us and free us and purify us and get us on the right track. Don't look at them as more rules and regulations, but look at them as a way of freedom. We've looked at the first two commands in our study, no other gods, no graven images. Next week, we're going to look more specifically at God and his nature, about taking his name in vain and what that means and how we can look at our life to see if that's the case. I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Cross in the Desert for this important study. Have yourself an incredible weekend. I will see you again on Monday on the Cross in the Desert.